Good morning, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers who are here. Grandfathers, great-grandfathers, and it's amazing. This morning, just an introductory thought here. I was reading this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and these are amazing statements that are said about our Father. And I just want you to think about it for a second. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and there's a lot of issues with the Corinthian church. Kind of like a family. There's a lot of issues in a family. If we're here, we can like, yep, there's a lot of issues in a family. But this is what he says to them. Verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father. And that just really reverberated this morning to me. Grace and peace from God our Father. And when we think about fathers, we don't think about grace, and sometimes we don't think about peace. It's more ascribed to mom. Mom is the gracious one. Mom is the one that brings peace in the home. But you know what's amazing? Is when we think about it, and we think about who God is, we think about his character and nature, we think about his faithfulness, his truth, his justice. And we love that. But think about this in verse 3. It says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And that is huge. That is huge this morning. You know why? Because as a father, I can look to my heavenly Father where I fall short. And he has mercy. And he comforts. And this is amazing because, you know, as believers, we know in our world, there are two things that are going on in our world. There is an absence of fathers, and there's an attack on fatherhood. Both are going on simultaneously. There's an attack against authority. And we know that all authority comes from God, our Father. And we know that the devil is the father of lies in John 8:44. He's continuously assassinating the character of our Heavenly Father. But just as in Psalm 133, unity comes down, so does the attack. It flows down. And that's what the devil did. In heaven, he attacked the character and nature of God. He was cast out of heaven. He came to the earth. He attacked the character and nature of God in the garden. He's always attacking our Heavenly Father. And you know what's amazing? At one point in time, all of us were abandoned to our Father, but he came with mercy and comfort and grace and peace and the cross. Because as children, we didn't understand what we needed. There's a song that says, my Father knows what I need. He knows what I need. And this is beautiful because receiving it, we have a message to fathers as well as the fatherless. To fathers who haven't been there, we can say, hey, listen, there is one who has never failed. Don't look at your failure. Look to him. He has mercy for you. He will comfort you. He has grace. His character and nature is towards you. And you can receive it. And all of a sudden, there can be a new heritage in your life. No matter what's happened in your past, no matter how much you've failed, you can receive mercy from God. You can receive his comfort. You can begin to learn to be a father. Amazing testimony yesterday. I met a guy and on outreach, and we were talking about Father's Day. And he said he had 14 grandchildren. And then he looked at me and he said, I never knew my father. And I said, "What? You know what's amazing? Yes, you didn't know your father, but God became a father to you. and you received love from your Heavenly Father. And then you know the most amazing thing was, is that it transformed your life. You didn't reproduce what your father did in your life, as far as not being a father or being an absent father, but you learn how to be a father, where you can rejoice in 14 grandchildren. You didn't have that opportunity. And, you know, and I was just saying to him, it's amazing what God does in our lives. And this is message is not to condemn anyone here. And I know there are many situations and circumstances, but one thing is constant. Our Heavenly Father is the Father of mercy. Mercy is given for sin. That's the purpose of mercy, to hold back what I deserve. And grace is there to give me what I don't deserve. And peace is there for in my turmoil and my strife. And comfort is there when I don't understand. This is amazing, you know. And Father's Day is such a day to rejoice in our Heavenly Father. And then as we are rejoicing in our Heavenly Father, His blessing comes down to us as fathers. And in our homes, we learn how to bring comfort. We learn how to bring mercy. We learn how to be quiet. We learn how to be on our knees. We learn how to extend our arms in love. And this is only possible. This is not natural. It's supernatural. This is what goes on in a family where God is allowed to come in and bring in that home. Amazing, amazing, amazing strength where there is weakness. An amazing comfort where there is pain. And last thing is, I love in the book of Philemon, Paul says this, yet for love's sake. And the background of Philemon is there is tension between Philemon and Onesimus. And you know what? Paul says, Philemon, let me remind you, as a father to you, extend love to him. And we know in families, sometimes love's like, it's only going this far. I'm not going all the way. And it's okay. But when God comes in, Romans 5:5, he sheds abroad the love in our hearts. Our Heavenly Father sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts. And this is so amazing. So Father's Day, you know, I was saying to someone, you know, this is Daddy's Day. He doesn't get any other day but this one. But you know what's amazing? Every day is Father's Day for our Heavenly Father. Because we know He broke down that middle wall of partition between us. He sent His only begotten Son. And this last verse, John 3:16, for God the Father so loved the world. Think about the alienation that happened there, the world. And the Father's heart is still to love, that He gave His only begotten Son. That relationship we understand. Precious Son was given to restore broken relationships. God did it, and by the grace of God, we do it. We go out into the highways and byways, missions, we comfort, we counsel, we pray, we encourage. Why? Because our relationship with our Heavenly Father has been restored. So now we can extend mercy and grace and peace and comfort to all those who are in trouble. And we can all agree, we live in troublous times. But I love, like Pastor Bailey said yesterday, in the midst of the trouble, we don't change the plan. We don't dress up the plan. We just continually communicate God's plan, God the Father, His plan for creation is the gospel, is Christ, it's the cross. And that's what brings healing in families and restores a right relationship with the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much this morning. No matter where we are, no matter what's happened in our lives, you are still the Father of mercies. You are waiting to be gracious in Isaiah 30:18. You just will wait patiently, but purposely, to pour out your character and nature in situations and circumstances, in families and hearts and problems. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. You have restored a relationship that we ourselves could never restore. We didn't have the ability, but you did. So just bless the remainder of our service. Thank you. You are our Heavenly Father, and you know what we need. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. It's been already so amazing. And the graduation yesterday was incredible. It really spoke to my heart in a lot of ways. One of them is I was just watching Pastor Bailey and seeing what God did in his life. I knew him when he was this big, and he and my son and others made quite the team. But it's like awesome how God redeems, how God has this plan for our children. And there's an encouraging word always comes to my heart. It's in Psalm 89, verse 33. Actually, I wasn't planning to go there, but I will now. So turn with me to Psalm 89. It's one of the, what I call famous neverthelesses. Nevertheless, like everything is going this way and then nevertheless, and it goes this way. And in Psalm 89, verse 30, if his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit them or visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. And then comes this beautiful word, nevertheless. And sometimes this is a long time period. It's just happening and happening and happening, and parents are praying and praying and praying and wondering what will ever change things. Oh, God is the God of nevertheless. He says, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Isn't that an amazing promise? Loving kindness. God's loving kindness will not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Has God's faithfulness ever failed? It's never failed. God is amazingly faithful. And I also was thinking about spiritual children that are not born in the natural family, but in the spiritual family, and how precious they are to us. Maybe there's parents who have never had natural children, but they have spiritual children. And you have loved them, invested the word in them, and you're observing God's faithfulness to make that word come alive in their heart. And I've had the privilege of both things. I see God's faithfulness on my natural children, and then I see God's faithfulness on some who I've had the great privilege to love and invest in, and there's no greater joy than to see what God can do in the spiritual family of God, that it's eternal, and it's so valuable, and it can never be stolen from us. The wicked one touches it not. He can try to hinder, and he can discourage, and he can throw all kinds of things, but the foundation stands secure because God has never failed. His loving kindness will not depart. His faithfulness will never fail. His faithfulness will always stand the test in all the things that can be thrown at it. And You know, it's a great joy when you've, as you get older, you look back and you can say some of these things. You look back and you say, wow, God is, like when you say God is faithful. I used to say God is faithful when I was 24 years old and got saved. And now I look back and I see through the years that God has never failed. He stands true. All that has been taught and said to us is amazingly true and filled with life. And I'm just like thinking of my father. I have a natural father who's in heaven now, and I have a spiritual father who pastored me in the faith, Pastor Stevens. And that made an impact. It did something. I received something that is, I can keep it forever. And I can stand here today and say that the words that he spoke went into my heart. And I had two teachers. I had him teaching me, and I had Holy Spirit teaching me and making it come alive. And I have such a great covering this way. And now he has gone home to be with the Lord, and now I have still another covering. We have Pastor Schaller, who is a spiritual father to me. And what a covering, what a blessing that is. And, you know, it keeps you young, because you're a little kid still. You didn't, like, you know, in a beautiful way. We're just like children that are feeding on the word and grace and the life that God has given us. And wow, I am so thankful that our Father in heaven sent his Son. And then out of that came this whole amazing plan of God that gives eternal purpose and meaning to life. And it's just awesome. So, Father, thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Great words, beautiful. Praise God. Yes, amen. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. A strange dog came to a preacher's house, and his three sons became fond of it. Do you want to hear this story? I don't know. You don't know the end of the story, so it's like... All right, before I finish the story, turn with me to, Mark chapter 5. And there's a dad who has a sick daughter. Mark 5. I wanted to thank all the staff for the great maturity of going through these past months with this maturity of love. And I want to thank the ministry everywhere for walking in the Spirit and experiencing truth in the inner man. The real peace that we feel in life is from Christ dwelling in us. And because Christ is growing in us, developing in us, Paul said to the Galatians in chapter 4, verse 19, that I have to labor again so that Christ is formed in you, because they had departed from the grace message and the right concept of God. One little side point I'd share with you. It occurred to me the other day. Have you ever read in the Revelation where The angels are worshiping day and night. Anybody? There are angels and beasts and elders. When the beasts, and we don't know what they are, but they give glory and honor and thanks to him that is on the throne, who lives, then, let's see. Yeah, verse 8. The four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. Eyes mean perception. So they were full of eyes within. And then they rest not day and night. They don't rest day and night at all, but they say, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. You might say, yes, I know that, but I can't imagine that not resting. I cannot imagine being alive and not resting day and night. How about it? Because we are human beings, so we have flesh and we have bodies and we rest. We go to sleep and then we are refreshed and then we can go for hours and then we get tired and we go to sleep. But in heaven, with these creatures, they are not resting day or night. Why? How can that be? How can that be? Can you imagine it? How can it be? Anybody know? I can imagine it. And it sounds awesome to me, actually. I think naturally it wouldn't sound awesome. Day and night, day and night. Aren't they bored, tired? Don't they want a break, a coffee break? Don't they want to sit down, rest? How can they do that? How can they do that? And the answer is that we don't know what it is to be pure spirit without any frailty, weakness, sickness, death, tiredness. But you can taste it. You can actually experience it in the holiness of the moment, the filling of the Spirit. You can actually say, wow, I could be constantly, I mean, that's what is amazing to me. The link between heaven and earth, that you and I are body, flesh, and bones, and we are tired and get refreshed. We are thirsty, we get a glass of water. We hurt, so we need help. You know, all of these very human things. And to think that God became a man and rested on the well in John 4. To think that God came and he slept on the boat. And to think that God humbled himself and came into our world and lived here and is a father. You know, Jesus said, pray to the Father, Luke 11, but in Isaiah 9, his name, Jesus' name, is Father. What is a father? I've got four things to mention. Truth. Truth is important if you are a father. Truth. The family is based on it. And in this story, this dog came to the house, and the man's three sons became fond with the dog. One day, an advertisement was seen in the newspaper about a lost dog, which had this description. It had three hairs, separate hairs on the tail. The real owner discovered where the dog was, and he came to claim it, and the dog responded to the owner and was very happy about it, about finding his dog. But the minister, this was a preacher who had the dog come to his house, he had taken the three white hairs away from the tail of the dog. And the minister said, "Didn't you say the dog would be known by three white hairs in the tail?" The owner, unable to find the identifying feature, had to leave. The minister said later, "We kept the dog, but I lost my three boys." His sons no longer had confidence in what their father preached. He hadn't practiced what he preached. See, I told you, maybe you didn't want me to read the story. What is a father? First thing, truth. Truth. Our Heavenly Father, He is truth. And the whole universe is based on truth. He doesn't lie. He doesn't mislead us, and He tells the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." But because we have our wicked hearts and we lie and cheat and so on inside, then God said, Psalm 51, verse 6, He requires truth in the inner part. That's why when I listened to Pastor Stevens years ago and followed his teaching in the Bible, I was so happy and thankful, because the Holy Spirit uses us to say the truth. And the truth, I may not like to hear it, but the whole life and all our relationships are based on truth. Trust is based on truth. So, in Mark chapter 5, we have verse 21, or is it, yes, 21. When Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there comes one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray, come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." Maybe some of you might think your children are at the point of spiritual death. Your children are at the point of leaving you. Your children are at the point of leaving the faith. Your children are at the point of physical death. Your children are at the point of making a bad decision. And as parents, we feel that in our families and can see it happening. But we know that we can come to Jesus, and that Jesus is the answer for every family. Jesus is the answer for every dad and every mom. Jesus is the answer for every child that is at the place of death. What is a father? A father is able to see the big picture and relate to truth, and number two, be faithful. Jesus is faithful. He's going to be there. One prisoner was standing before a court And the judge asked the young man, "Do you remember your father?" The judge said sternly, "That father whom you have disgraced," because the judge knew the boy's father. And the prisoner said, "I remember him perfectly. When I went to him for advice or companionship, he would look up from the book he was studying and say, 'Run away, boy, I am busy. My father finished his book, and here I am. I am before the court on my way to prison.'" I know that as dads, we can take a lot of guilt on ourselves for things that happen with our children and our families. I realize that. But this is meant to encourage us that there's always a new beginning in Christ. Go get Jesus. My daughter is about to die. She's on the edge. Go get Jesus. I want Jesus in my life. I want this book to be in my heart and in my mouth. I want Jesus to be fresh in my life. You know, we are not spirits only that can easily, they are in the presence of God, worshiping day and night without boredom, without frustration, without tiredness, without a sin nature, but pure spirits before the throne. And we are going there. But now in this life, my soul cleaves to the dust. And now in this life, I might lie because it's more convenient. Now in this life, I might leave or abandon my family or abandon my friends or abandon my church or abandon my just cause. But fathers, number three, have to pay attention to the important things. My daughter is sick on the edge of death. I am here for her. We have to pay attention to the important things by God's grace. We had outdoor services because we had to pay attention to the church and the body and each other. And it's easy with us because of the Spirit filling us and the Spirit teaching us. The dads have to pay attention. Granddads have to pay attention. Pastors have to pay attention. Leaders have to pay attention. We have a lot that people are caring for that they need a little bit of a nudge, a little bit of love, a little bit of hope, a little bit of encouragement. A word in season, a little bit in the car, a little bit on the porch, a little bit before dinner, a little bit before bedtime. What is it? Attention. Again, it's amazing how much has happened in this month, June alive. Pastor Gary. And amazing leadership, amazing leaders and groups and amazing activity in the month of June. And then the grilling coming this Friday. Is it Friday night? Friday? Saturday. Saturday at 5 o'clock. And then into July. And then our convention coming. We are paying attention. Kind, just paying attention in our hearts, weeping sometimes, heartbroken. My daughter's about to die. She's about to die. Do something about it. Do something about it. I'm coming to you, Jesus. So, did we read 23? 23, besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come, lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. This is the the spirit of a father. Like he's, let's be with him. Let's go. Maybe he has an answer. Maybe he can touch her. Maybe he can save her. Verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain, which said, your daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? It's over. He's late. Your daughter is dead, or any number of things could be said. She's going to die. And by the way, that's going to happen to every family. Somebody's going to die. Somewhere along the line, it will happen. But when we face death, when we look at death, when we have been built up with the spirit of life, we believe we will be one day like the angels, and there will be no need to rest like now. It will not happen like that. It'll be a different realm, a pure spirit, a fire. It'll be life continually. It'll be refreshing. That day is coming. But now we suffer. I have to say this. We do. There is suffering in this life. There is great sorrow in this life. I remember, I think Abraham Lincoln was 8 years old when his mother, biological mother, died. And then his dad remarried. And that woman, she did an amazing job taking him as her son and in the family and everything. And then I believe when he was 17, his sister died of that milk poisoning. And that's how his mother died, I believe, is for his first one. And later in life, he said, you know, death is terribly painful, especially for young people, because they never expect it. But if you live longer, you learn to expect it. And when you live longer, it becomes normal. And when we live longer, we are also to be prepared for it. How could you live longer and not be prepared? By not having a Heavenly Father. For our Heavenly Father will prepare us. Our Heavenly Father will speak to us. Our Heavenly Father will teach us. So in the story, it goes like this, and we will finish. It says, your daughter is dead. Why do you trouble the master? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. He kind of like wanted a smaller group. And sometimes that's a good thing. A smaller group that will believe, a smaller group that is kind of humble, maybe they're humble, a smaller group, maybe they know Jesus and they're with him in the adventure. Maybe they kind of trusted. I don't know, we don't know, but it was a smaller group. And you can imagine how God loves to be with his friends. Like Abraham, he said, he told Abraham, you're going to have a son in your old age, in Sarah. And then as God is going away, he goes, can I destroy Sodom and Gomorrah without telling my friend Abraham? And so he said no to himself, so to speak. No, I have to tell my friend Abraham. So he did. And Abraham was like, you know, like raising, could I just say something about it? Could I just, you know, I don't want to offend you, but could I just say, you know, what if there are 50 in the city? And on 40, 30, 10, what if there? Remember? God has friends, James and Peter and John, and he brings them into the house. and there's a spirit in the house. There's unbelief on the outside, but in the family, in the spirit, in the church, in the spirit, drinking the spirit, and in fellowship, let us as fathers believe God for our families. Let us as spiritual fathers not stop. Let us as men and women of God, let us believe, because God is here. So this is what happened. He comes to the house of the ruler, and he sees the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. When he was come in, he said unto them, why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Maybe that's how he sees death, like it's not real. She's sleeping. Maybe that's how we should be built up in our spirit and see things that the natural man cannot see. Maybe we should see the church like that. Maybe we should see our Bible like that. Maybe we should see ourselves like that. We should see it really, really, she's not dead. Yes, she's dead. Of course she's dead. No, no, no. Do you hear what I'm saying? I've done that before. Of course I know what that is. No, you don't know what that is. No, it's not what you think it is. No, you don't know that. You don't know. Yes, of course I believe in God and I know and I've been there and done that, been there and done it. No, you haven't. You don't know reality. You don't know who God, you don't know what can happen. You don't know what is happening here. She is not dead. She's sleeping. You have followed that with me. You might say, I prayed before. No, you don't know what it is. I read the Bible before. No, you don't know what it is. I believe in God. No, you don't know what that is. That's amazing. You do not know what it is. It is way above and beyond. You don't know what is going on. You don't realize what is really happening. We don't realize what is really going to happen one day when he says the word, and all of the graves of the 2,000 years of Christians buried in the ground and the sea and burned at the stake and their dust blown to the wind in a word up out of the ground, bodies of Christians will be raised. That's amazing. We have a Heavenly Father who has done everything perfectly, and we are following him. We are imperfect, but we are learning. And the fourth thing is time. It takes time to be a dad. It takes time to grow as a dad. It takes time to pay attention. It takes time. Be patient. Don't give up. Don't draw back. Don't quit. God is with you. Let's go to Jesus, and we'll see something new. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we pray for all our moms and dads and families and spiritual fathers around the world, the ministry of Christ, Jesus. Bless our 11 o'clock service today, our evening, our week. Thank you for our staff, our graduation. Thank you for people we know around the world by name. We really do. We know them in the deepest sense, because we have found Christ and so have they. Bless our work and our labor. And those that are hearing my voice, come to Jesus today, please. In your heart, say to Jesus, I save me, I need you. And Heavenly Father, I come to you. You will not cast me away. You will receive me. Though I am a sinner, though I have failed you, though I have lied to you, though I am proud, though I am self-righteous, so I am angry, so I am depressed, so I am sad, so I am hurting, I come to you as my Father in heaven, and save me and teach me in Jesus' name. Anyone saying that prayer, raise your hand. Anyone at all this morning? Anyone at all? God bless you. Amen. Would you stand with me? Is that right, Pastor TJ? Stand now? Okay. Stand with me and greet each other for a moment.
Still into love, 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 you're a good. Okay, everyone who's not a dad or a granddad or a great-granddad, sit down, please. The other guys, you stand up, stay standing. There they are. They're perfect in all of his ways because of him. Because of him. Only because of him. Thanks, guys. We have something for you on the way out. Dad's special thing for you on the way out. Okay, remember the offering on the way out. The offering cans are out there. There are special envelopes there. Those are for scholarship funds for GGCA and Maryland Bible College if you put something in there. So on your way out, remember the offering. Okay, let's see. Right here. Oh, tonight we'll have a service at 6:30. If you heard Pastor Bailey yesterday, Pastor Bailey Norman from Marlborough, Massachusetts. Great message yesterday at the Bible College. He'll be speaking tonight with Pastor Schaller. So come on back tonight, 6:30. For that. Also, if you are a visitor here, you're one of our guests, please make sure that you check in at the Welcome Center. And we have something for you there if you're a guest, and we just like to get to know you. Okay? Sorry, my voice is cracking for some reason. Not sure. Hello, second childhood. Amazing. Pastor Roger said it. We're going to be young again. All right, would you stand, please? All right, Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. You are so gracious to us. You have filled us with your love. You have given us this space to rejoice and be glad in. Thank you for the holy house of God and, Lord, for your healing power. Lord, we come to you for these things. We just believe you for your healing power. Lord, an amazing move of God, and it will be unmistakable healing power. In our city, in our nation, Lord, you will do something around the world. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Bless us now as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.